We'll hear argument now, consolidated oral argument in two cases, Chicago against eBay and Chicago against StubHub.
May it please the court. The city of Chicago provides substantial services for the venues at which sporting events, theater productions, concerts, and other amusements are held. Such services include police and fire protection, emergency response, and building inspections. To help pay for these services, the city taxes the admissions, fees, and other charges paid for the privilege to witness any amusement in Chicago. The city imposes the tax on the persons who pay for that privilege while requiring that the tax be collected from such persons and remitted to the city by various other persons and entities, including the owners and operators of the amusements, as well as every reseller of tickets and every reseller's agent. This morning, I'll explain first that StubHub and eBay are resellers' agents under the city's amusement tax ordinance. Second, that the city has authority under Illinois law to tax the purchase of tickets, including resold tickets, and to impose the tax on the purchasers. And third, that the city also has authority under Illinois law to require resellers' agents to collect and remit the tax. The amusement tax ordinance.
We'll discuss one more thing. Well, maybe two more things. One more thing I would like to hear from both sides on is the propriety of certifying these state law issues to the Supreme Court of Illinois. You mentioned that in passing at the end. Ms. Odorizzi discusses that in a footnote in her brief, but we need to think about that seriously because this issue otherwise may end up exclusively in federal court because of diversity. The other that I hope you will address sometime is the Commerce Clause issue that has been raised at least by eBay, although not by StubHub, I gather. So, you're on.
The amusement tax ordinance defines the terms reseller's agent as a person who receives consideration for performing either of two functions: reselling a ticket on behalf of the ticket's owner, or assisting the owner in reselling the ticket. We explain in our briefs that StubHub and eBay perform both of those functions for consideration. eBay and StubHub don't contest that they assist owners in reselling tickets and that they receive consideration for doing so. That constitutes a concession that they are resellers' agents. Of course, if the city lacked authority under Illinois law, either to tax the persons of the purchase of resold tickets or to impose the tax on the purchasers, then the amusement tax ordinance would be unlawful and the city could not require resellers' agents, including StubHub and eBay, to collect the tax from the purchasers and remit it to the city. But the city does have authority under Illinois law to tax the purchase of resold tickets and to impose the tax on the purchasers. Indeed, such authority is conferred by two separate sources of Illinois law, the home rule provision of the Illinois Constitution and an Illinois statute. The statute is section 11-42-5 of the Illinois Municipal Code. It provides that the corporate authorities of each municipality may tax theatricals and other exhibitions, shows, and amusements. Significantly, StubHub and eBay do not disagree with us that section 11-42-5 authorizes the city to tax the purchase of resold tickets and to impose the tax on the purchasers. And the district court judges did not consider whether section 11-42-5 confers such authority, much less conclude that it does not confer such authority. They addressed a different section of the Illinois Municipal Code, section 11-42-1. The primary focus of the district court judges was the home rule provision of the Illinois Constitution, and they concluded that it does not authorize the city to tax the purchase of resold tickets. But even if that were correct, it would not matter, since section 11-42-5 of the Illinois Municipal Code plainly confers such authority. In any event, the district court judges were wrong. The home rule provision confers such authority as well. The home rule provision provides that, except as limited by the provision itself, home rule municipalities, including Chicago, may exercise any power and perform any function pertaining to their government and affairs. Among the limitations on home rule power that the provision sets forth is that the Illinois General Assembly, by a law approved by the vote of 3/5 of the members elected to each house, may deny or limit the power to tax. In this connection, the district court judges relied on section 8-11-6A of the Illinois Municipal Code, which was enacted by a 3/5 vote of each house and provides that no home rule municipality has the authority to impose, pursuant to its home rule authority, any tax on the use, sale, or purchase of tangible personal property based on its selling or purchase price. But tickets to amusements, including resold tickets, are not tangible personal property for taxation purposes. They are a license to enter someone else's property for the limited purpose of attending the amusement. And that is a type of intangible.
This distinction between taxing the tickets and taxing the license strikes me as scholastic. Now, maybe it wouldn't strike the Supreme Court of Illinois as scholastic, but it strikes me as scholastic because the tax is on both. It's a tax imposed on the ticket, but the ticket represents something else. How do you tell apart a tax that is imposed on object A because object A represents a right to do B?
Well, in Illinois,
one or all of the other, it strikes me as both.
Well, in Illinois law, actually, the test is where the predominant, the tax, what the law predominantly taxes. And in this case, as we explain in our brief, the tax.
But it doesn't respond to my concern. The law predominantly taxes the ticket. And the reason why the city is taxing that is because the ticket represents something else. Let me put the question in a different way. If somebody buys a ticket and then doesn't use it because he thinks the ticket is itself an interesting and valuable object, say a Super Bowl ticket, which people keep afterward, and some people even frame their Super Bowl tickets, buys a Super Bowl ticket and then doesn't go, does the city refund the tax?
No, the city doesn't refund the tax.
Well, one would therefore think that the tax is on the ticket, not the going to the amusement.
Well,
Chicago hasn't had a Super Bowl at the local stadium, so this is perhaps hypothetical, but you get the idea.
Correct. We cite an Illinois Revenue Department ruling in our briefs. That ruling is the Illinois Department of Revenue ruling, letter ruling number 84-0563. And it is a decision by the Illinois, the director of the Illinois Department of Revenue, stating that tickets are not tangible personal property, but are instead, for taxation purposes, to be considered a tax on the privilege of attending the amusement, and are not taxed as tangible personal property. Because they're not taxed as tangible personal property, and the Illinois Supreme Court, several decisions of the Illinois Supreme Court make clear that revenue rulings of the Illinois Department of Revenue are entitled to substantial deference. There's no indication in the
You may be answering a different question than the one I asked, which is, what is the significance of the fact that Chicago does not refund the tax if you don't go to the game? That makes it look like the tax is on the ticket rather than on attending the amusement.
Actually, the issue hasn't come up. Excuse me?
Nobody asked for their money back yet.
No one's asked for their money back for that purpose. And
be careful, it's coming. You bought a ticket.
No one's asked for their money back for that purpose. And perhaps if they did, the City of Chicago's Department of Revenue would consider that in fact, for that purpose, the ticket might be considered tangible personal property and would not be something on which we could impose the tax. We impose the tax because, for all other purposes, the tickets are an intangible property right on the privilege of attending the amusement, regardless of whether the person actually attends it. So for that reason, Section 8-11-6A is inapplicable. It does not defeat the city's home rule authority to tax tangible personal property. The case has the district court judges relied on the Mr. B's case, but the conclusion in Mr. B's that resold tickets are tangible personal property for taxation purposes is incorrect, and as we explain in our brief.
Although, of course, your adversaries emphasize that it was Chicago that talked Mr. B's into it.
We apparently did. That's at least how the Mr. B's appears to have read our briefs to say that and have concluded that. Now, StubHub,
example of short-term focus. Right, the lawyers made the argument that they thought would help win Mr. B's without worrying about what was going to happen in the next case.
Perhaps so. And we explain in our brief, and we certainly regret that happened. If one scrutinizes that case, one would see that actually it was unnecessary to have done so. The court elsewhere explained that taxes on amusements are not taxes on tangible personal taxes on amusements get the benefit of the favorable when a declaration in an ordinance specifically imposes the tax on the purchaser, that declaration is given conclusive effect when the tax is on an amusement, and that means that the tax is on the purchaser, which means that it could not have been an occupation tax, which was what the issue was in Mr. B's. Accordingly, the Illinois law authorizes the city to tax tickets, including resold tickets, and to impose the tax on the purchaser. Illinois law also authorizes the city to require resellers' agents like StubHub and eBay to collect the tax from the purchasers and remit it to the city. Specifically, the home rule provision confers that authority, and this would be so even if the home rule provision were not also a source of authority for the tax itself. That is, even if Section 11-42-5 were the only authority for taxing the purchases of resold tickets and imposing the tax on the purchasers. This is because home rule authority is broader than the power to tax. The Illinois Constitution authorizes home rule municipalities to exercise any power and perform any function pertaining to their government and affairs. And where a particular function is within a home rule municipality's government and affairs, the municipality has home rule authority to perform it unless the General Assembly has preempted such authority.
You realize you're going into your
rebuttal? I do realize.
You realize
that
you've reached it without addressing the two issues I asked
I do.
You to address.
We believe that the court need not remand. We urge the court to certify the issues to the Supreme Court, any issues to the Supreme Court that the court deems necessary, if the court believes that doing so is necessary to address those issues. We believe that it's...
Let me bring up with you the reason why I raise this. Do you foresee any chance of this issue being litigated in state court independently, right? You filed these lawsuits in state court. They got removed under the diversity jurisdiction. Are there other pending cases that you filed in state court that have not been removed? Is there any other way in which these issues will come before the state court if we don't certify them?
As of right now, I'm unaware of any cases in the state court system that that would allow the issue to be raised. But as we explained at the end of both briefs, the court need not address at least the home rule issue in order to rule in our favor. It is sufficient that the court rely on the authority of Section 11-40.
Anything. I expect that we will certify all state law issues. That in the what interests me in certification is the worry that these cases will arise in a way that cuts the state courts out, so that if we make a mistake about state law here, it would not get corrected by the Illinois judiciary in 2 or 3 years in some similar case.
I understand that. It would be unnecessary for that to happen if the court were to avoid the home rule issue entirely, but of course.
All right. Time is short, so let me ask you the other question. I'll ask the particular part of the Commerce Clause question that concerns me. eBay, which is making the Commerce Clause argument, registered under the special Illinois statute allowing these resales as an exception to the anti-scalping statute. And when eBay registered, it promised to follow Illinois law and do the things Illinois required. I notice that your Commerce Clause argument does not rely on that registration. Is that a deliberate omission, or do you think the registration might be significant?
Well, I don't think the registration is significant, including, in fact, in our briefs, we explain that at least at this stage of the proceedings, and as we expect the facts to be developed on a remand at trial, eBay's certification is erroneous.
I'm asking what's going to develop on remand. I'm asking whether you think the registration is significant as a matter of law, and I take it your answer is you concede that it is not. That seems to me would be your best argument, and you're conceding it.
We have not, that's correct, we have not, actually we didn't anticipate that the eBay's registration has any bearing on the Commerce Clause issue. In our view, the Commerce Clause issue is erroneous because, or at least their position is erroneous, because all of the transactions are centered on amusement that occur at venues in Chicago. They can occur at no other venues anywhere else. There's no suggestion that any jurisdiction anywhere would tax these transactions in Chicago. If there were, then there would have to be an accommodation, but there is no suggestion.
I'm totally lost. I don't see what that has to do with my question.
It doesn't have anything to do with your particular question.
One might as well say that Illinois could tax the shipments of L.L. Bean because, of course, the only shipments that Illinois could tax would be the ones that come to Illinois. And therefore, since all the products are being delivered in Illinois, right, the Supreme Court's decision in Quill against North Dakota is a dead letter. Well, that's the theme in your brief, and you're not going to persuade us that the Supreme Court's decision in Quill is a dead letter. Right? The thing that would meaningfully distinguish Quill is the registration and consent to be bound by Illinois law. But I take it you're saying you think that's irrelevant.
I don't want to say irrelevant. We think that, among other things, their certification is incorrect. They do not, in fact, abide by the certification because they do much more than merely serve as a venue. They could not survive a trial on the question of the propriety of their certification. This case is distinguishable from Quill because in Quill, the products that were purchased outside of North Dakota but delivered inside North Dakota could be taken anywhere else in the world. But the tickets to amusements cannot.
I don't want to pursue this at length, but on that rationale, you would say that the city of Chicago couldn't levy a sales tax on an automobile sold in Chicago because the automobile can be driven anywhere in the world. You don't want to be saying that.
Well, I see that I only have a minute left. I will reserve that for rebuttal.
Mm-hmm. Certainly, counsel. Ms. Odorizzi.
Good morning. May it please the Court. Michelle Odorizzi for StubHub and eBay. I'd like to answer Your Honor's question first about the propriety of certifying to the Illinois Supreme Court. The city has never argued in this case abstention-like prudential concerns. They still are not arguing that this is the kind of case that should be decided.
They argue any form of abstention. This is their lawsuit, right? From their perspective, the problem is the lawsuit is in the wrong forum. They brought the lawsuit in state court, and if you want to get an authentic interpretation of state court, you go to the state court. It was removed by your clients, right? And so the question that we need to consider is whether, in order to get an authentic interpretation of state law, we ought to be asking the state.
Right. The city, though, under the Jefferson, the case that we removed under, specifically says you can raise abstention as an issue. The city could have done that.
Raise your voice slightly.
Sorry. The city could have raised the issue of abstention in the district court had it chosen to do so. The Supreme Court's decision in the...
Abstention is irrelevant. If you would address the question of certification, it would help, however.
Right. But the city does not argue that anything that the court should certify on anything other than the home rule issue, and then only in the event that the court thinks it might have to overrule Mr. Bees and is uncomfortable in doing so.
Let me try it. Your clients object to our certifying the questions, state law questions, in their entirety to the Supreme Court of Illinois.
Well, Your Honor, I object if the city is the one that says that they're perfectly happy, and we're perfectly happy to have this court interpret Illinois law just as it would in any diversity case.
Well, the three of us are happy. Don't go with that.
And, you know, it's as if in any diversity case, if the court believes that it is the type of issue that should be certified to the Illinois Supreme Court, then
that
obviously...
Usually, if we don't have the Supreme Court has not spoken to this issue.
They've not, Your Honor, but we do have.
And we have one, as I understand it, appellate court decision.
We have one appellate court decision that is has exactly the issue that we want to decide, whether or not the sale of a resale of tickets is a sale of tangible personal property. And as Chief Judge Easterbrook pointed out, it was the city that persuaded the First District Appellate Court to hold, to conclude that it was the sale of tangible personal property. So in
but
that...
Why wouldn't we want to hear what the state of Illinois Supreme Court has to say about this issue?
Well, Your Honor, I think it is, as on any question of state law in under diversity, the court...
Well, but usually, typically in diversity, there is the state law has spoken, or the Supreme Court, state Supreme Court may have spoken to the issue.
Well,
so
I
we don't have that problem.
I think often, Your Honor, only the appellate courts have spoken, and the question is whether the court believes that there are persuasive indications that the Illinois Supreme Court would have gone the other way, and if it has, then we would agree if this court is looking at saying Mr. Bees was wrong, then that would be an issue that you would want to send to the Illinois Supreme Court. But applying Mr. Bees, I think the court can do that, and Your Honor indicated that, you know, if there may not be any more state court cases about this.
Do you have any knowledge of that? Chicago says it hasn't filed any more similar suits. Are there any other suits or any other way in which the state judiciary is going to get to address this issue if we don't certify? My major worry, you know, in a normal insurance case, there are zillions of insurance cases in state court and some in federal court, contract case and so on. And if we make our best effort and don't quite get it right, maybe 5 years later, maybe 10 years later, the Supreme Court of Illinois can come along and say, no, this is really how it is. But is there going to be some other case where the Supreme Court of Illinois can come along later and give us the authentic state law on this question?
On this question, Your Honor, so far the city has not gone after anybody else on these tickets.
Are there any other people to go after? That is, anybody other than eBay and StubHub registered under this state statute?
I don't know, Your Honor. I don't know the answer, whether there's any other Internet auction listing services or not who engage in ticket sales. One thing I would point out, though, to the court is that the Exelon case, which we've cited, in which the Supreme Court said that electricity was tangible personal property, if the Illinois legislature doesn't like the answer, they changed that immediately after the Exelon decision came out. So there is another alternative, and that is the General Assembly. If they disagree with this court's reading of the Preemption Act, they can change it quite easily. Counsel talked about the difference, you know, whether this is tangible personal property or not, whether the resale of a ticket is the sale of tangible personal property. And I agree with Your Honor, it has both aspects. It is certainly a tangible piece of property. You need that ticket to get into the game, to get into the theater, but it also has the aspects of a license. And none of the Illinois Supreme Court's decisions in this area on the amusement taxes. It tells you whether the resale of a ticket is the sale of tangible goods. What the Illinois Supreme Court has said in the amusement tax cases is that those taxes were imposed on the privilege of witnessing or attending the amusement. They're imposed on the patron. And that's all dealt with in the context of an amusement tax that's imposed at the time you buy the ticket from the venue. It shows on the face of the ticket.
Let me suppose that the city of Chicago in the future imposes a tax on copyright royalties, right? Take the amount somebody has paid as a copyright royalty, and the city levies a 10% tax on that. Is that a tax on personal property, on tangible personal property, or is it a tax on something else? Because if there's a patent license, there'll be a contract which somebody will have signed saying, this is our agreement, you can use our patent, and here's what you pay. On the view you're taking, on the view in Mr. B's, that would be a tax on the tangible personal property of the contract. The city of Chicago, I assume, would be saying, no, it's a tax on the license. The contract may be evidence of the license, but it's not the thing being taxed.
But here, the thing being taxed is very clearly.
Well, first you want to answer my question. Would the tax on the patent royalty be tax on tangible personal property?
I don't think so, Your Honor.
Right. And similarly, you would say the patent is not itself tangible personal property, even though the Commissioner of Patents and Trademarks sends you a thing and it's called a patent, right? Well, then the question would be, why is this any more a tax on tangible personal property?
I think because of the way that it is imposed. And that is, as Your Honor said, if you don't attend the amusement,
right,
you don't pay the tax.
That would also be the difference in the patent case. If there's no royalty paid, there's no tax, even if there is this contract.
Right. Also, in this situation, if you sell over the Internet at a premium, and then the person who buys from you has to eat that ticket, has to sell at face value, you also don't get a refund, even though somebody does attend and they paid for face value. What they're really taxing here is the markup on the ticket. And they do it every time there's a sale of the ticket at a higher price. And in so doing, I mean, the city really said it best in Mr. B's, where they said, ticket brokers are like retailers. This is what they sell. They sell tickets. It's like selling handbags or shoes or whatever it may be on eBay, and they're taxing that sale. And what they're taxing is the sale of the tangible personal property. So for that reason, you have their home rule authority preempted under the Preemption Act. And if you go to state law then, you can see the city is really pushing against the tide of state law here. They say that they have implied power to make eBay and StubHub into their collection agent by calling them a reseller's agent. But under state law, an Internet auction listing service is not the agent of the seller and indeed is not allowed to be. Now, the city comes back and says, well, you know, eBay and StubHub aren't really Internet auction listing services. I find that very strange because when the General Assembly passed the Ticket Resale Act that allowed individuals to resell tickets at above face value on the Internet, they knew they were talking about eBay. They knew they were talking about StubHub. They talk about them in the legislative history. And the only way they can do that is if they're Internet auction listing services. So the city's argument is that by doing what the General Assembly expected us to be doing, eBay and StubHub somehow create an agency relationship, even though you don't under state law. And the General Assembly thought very hard about whether to require eBay and StubHub to collect these taxes and decided at the end of the day not to impose such a requirement and to say instead what you have to do, you have a choice, eBay and StubHub. You can either collect those taxes or you can put a reminder notice up for people saying you may have taxing obligations, and that's what eBay and StubHub do. So if it's state law and state law controls, there is no way that the city can be taxing on exactly the basis that state law does not allow, that these are resellers agents. And in fact, if we're not Internet auction listing services, then under the Ticket Scalping Act, people cannot use us to sell tickets at above face value. So the city's argument that we're not an Internet auction listing service is really self-defeating. And I don't want to forget here that we also raised federal issues and federal preemption issues in addition to the Commerce Clause. If you go through the city's brief, you will see that time and time again, the city says that eBay and StubHub were posting information. eBay and StubHub are the speaker, according to them, and are speaking on behalf of the person who posts information on their websites. But under the Communications Decency Act, you can't call eBay and you can't call StubHub the speaker. And you can't impose liability on them on the theory that they're speaking. And we also have the Internet Tax Freedom Act, which says that you can't impose tax collection obligations on an Internet site like eBay or StubHub on the theory that they're the seller's agent solely because they're posting information on the website or the website is processing transactions. It's hard to imagine a situation under that where Congress has done more to protect Internet commerce from exactly the kind of obligation that the city is attempting to impose in this case. So you do have, ordinarily you might want to go through the state law issues before you meet the federal preemption issues. But here you have very strong federal preemption arguments. I'd also like to mention you have the threshold issue of whether the ordinance is even intended to apply to StubHub and eBay. It calls us a reseller's agent, as I said, under state law. An Internet auction listing service is not an agent of the reseller. And the city in the ordinance lists various entities that could be included within the term reseller's agent. They list auctioneers, brokers, sellers of tickets, all of which the city has the power under state law to regulate and tax. But they left out Internet auction listing services. Now, if the city had intended to create this conflict with state law and had intended to say, this is our home rule authority, we can do whatever we want, we can just ignore state law, you would have at least expected the city council to have put that clearly in the ordinance and just said and includes an Internet auction listing service. It's right there in the Ticket Resale Act. The city clearly knows about the Ticket Resale Act. That was the amendments. That was the trigger for the change to the amusement tax ordinance. So it just doesn't make any sense that the city did this in this sort of implicit way rather than coming out and saying, this is what we're going to do. So another way to decide this case is to simply say that the ordinance itself doesn't cover StubHub or eBay. Now, on the Commerce Clause question Chief Justice Easterbrook raised, we agree with Your Honor that Quill is applicable, that you have to have physical presence. In terms of the registration, the registration under the Internet Auction Listing Service, which the city has not argued, is a basis under the Commerce Clause. I think that that may get you into the distinction under Quill between due process, minimum contacts, and the physical presence necessary to make somebody into a collection agent for local taxes. Because the court in Quill did go through and said, you know, that perhaps Quill, in that case, I believe, did have sufficient minimum contacts from a due process perspective. But the court nevertheless said you need to have more than a slight physical presence. And here we believe that there's no allegation that there is sufficient physical presence on eBay's part.
Let us say that the Illinois statute had been worded slightly differently, and it had said, you know, eBay would be violating our anti-scalping law and committing a crime if it sold these tickets for higher prices, but we will allow an exception to our law if it registers, agrees as part of the registration to provide, respond to subpoenas, or respond actually to provide the information on the purchasers and sellers without the need for a subpoena, and if it agrees to act as a collection agent for any local amusement taxes, right? And eBay then
chose to do that.
That law having been passed. Would it be your position that under the Commerce Clause, eBay didn't have to keep its part of the bargain?
No, because that would be an agreement.
So you don't mean that the city can collect an amusement tax only if eBay has a physical office in Chicago, right? You agree that a registration and a consent can be sufficient.
The question
I'm asking is, isn't the consent sufficient without Clause 2, right? You've got Clause 1 that says we agree to provide this information in exchange for your not criminally prosecuting us. Why do you need more? Why do you need the express Clause 2 that says we consent to collect the amusement tax as a matter of constitutional law?
Well, in the Quill case, I think the court talked about having these bright-line tests of physical presence for imposing use tax obligations. And here, all we've done is to register and made it clear that eBay and StubHub will provide the consumer protections that the state was looking for. And we provide all of that through an Internet platform, and we're only using the means of interstate commerce. I think if you do not have the agreement to collect the taxes, that under the Commerce Clause, you can't impose that obligation. It's one thing to go into it on the understanding that you are going to collect the taxes, and if you don't agree to do that, you can't register. But it's another thing altogether to go into it in this kind of a situation where the statute provides that the Internet provider has a choice between collecting taxes and simply posting that notice on the website and then responding to requests for information. So in that kind of a situation, I think you're still in the bright line test that Quill suggested that the court should apply. The court has no further questions. further questions, we'd ask that you affirm the judgments below. Thank you.
Mm-hmm. Thank you, counsel. Anything further?
Yes, please. Your Honor, Your Honor has eloquently made clear, it is important that eBay has agreed to follow Illinois law for purposes of establishing, at least it's pertinent if not dispositive, of the physical nexus requirement of the for Commerce Clause purposes. Counsel's argument that they're not having agreed to collect the tax is irrelevant. The Ticket Sale and Resale Act does not give any Internet auction listing service even a choice about anything. It requires, the section pertains only to ticket scalping. Ticket scalping is made lawful if Internet auction listing services do either of two things, one of which is collecting the tax, the other of which is posting a notice. But that only goes to whether the reseller, the owner of the ticket, commits the criminal offense of ticket scalping. It does not go to the question of whether eBay or StubHub has to collect the tax. The Ticket Sale and Resale Act does not address at all whether eBay and StubHub have to collect the tax. The only obligation to collect the tax is the city's requirement imposed by city ordinance. If there are no further questions, we ask the court to reverse and remand this case. Thank you.